Hopefully this works. But this is our like what 10th try. Anyway, so my name is Hannah Pullen. I am 20 years old. Today's date is the November the 14th, and I'm speaking with my other half, Hannah Chase, who is my best friend. We are in Blacksburg, Virginia. And she's actually in town from good old Colorado, where they smoke a lot. Now, would you like to say anything before I ask you some questions?
Why are there so few black people in Blacksburg?
Wow, you're just putting us on the spot. Okay, probably because black people don't mess with middle of nowheres where there's no family. And I have no idea.
How did the town get the name Blacksburg when there's no black people here?
Not at all. And it actually used to be very racist. This town used to be split into two, actually. I just learned that the other day. It was called something in my diversity class. But it was very much like, yeah.
Was that because it was segregated? Like, straight up, this is your town, this is my town?
Yep. It was very segregated. Very, very. Virginia, period, is just got a lot of history. But okay, I'm going to start with the first question. First question is, can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life?
Yes, my father. Lord help him. My dad was a big influence on me because he taught me the value of committing to your word. Probably by doing so in one of the biggest ways that you can ever do in your entire life, through marriage struggles and through being utterly disrespected, he stood true to his word and his marriage vows and has kept my family intact, and that is something that I hope to emulate in the future, if ever need be.
That's deep. Deep. What is the most important lesson he taught you?
Never to depend on a man for anything.
Sounds like something a father would say, but a lot of fathers don't say it. They just assume you'd know. But I'm not surprised that your dad said it, which is awesome. Which is why you guys have the relationship you have. Can you describe one of your most happiest moments?
Oh, my happiest moment.
I went to a lake in South Carolina. It was a Clearwater lake, and I was with a friend who we may or may not have eaten some magical mushrooms, and there was just a solid period of about an hour and a half that we laid on a dock just face down pretending to be fish with no fins, and we wiggled around and cried, like, literal happiness, because we felt one with not only each other, but also the lake and the fish. And it may or may not have been induced by the mushrooms. But I remember laughing so hard. And also, immediately after, I went to cookout, and I couldn't read the sign. But it didn't matter, because whatever I put in my mouth is delicious.
Wow. Well, I wasn't expecting that. But that sounds like a great time, I suppose. I wouldn't know anything about it. But I guess whatever, if that's your happiest moment, that's pretty great. I understand.
Happiest. Right. Oh, also all the times I found out I wasn't pregnant.
Well, that's good. If you don't want to get a child, I mean, wow. I'm celibate, so I don't know what that feels like, but, so what are you proudest of, and why does it make you feel proud?
I am proudest of my true independence, and I mean that in life, you know, being able to support myself, but also being comfortable with that independence. I feel that I was raised kind of more similar to a boy in sports and just in kind of life in general, and I think a lot of women are really easily intimidated by having an ego a lot of the times, and I'm genuinely proud of mine just because I feel like it sets makes me different, and I feel like people actually consider me to be more honest than passive or not being truthful in that regard. I'm proud of that because I think it's kind of rare amongst the women that I've encountered in my age group.
So where do you think you got that from? Do you think you were just born that way and it's like instilled in you, or do you think you learned it?
I think it was entirely learned. I could have been raised super soft and it could be completely different, but I was born and raised in environments that might be slightly untraditional and raised by people who encouraged all the unique things about myself, good or bad. They just wanted me to be the truest that I possibly could be. So part of my ego comes from also understanding my shortcomings and being able to speak about them.
Blessed.
Blessed.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. This is an interesting one, and most people take a little time when they answer this one, but how would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered mostly as a base of all relationships, as a good friend. That's it.
A good friend. Do you have any particular specific, like, what are they called? Characteristic, like if they're like, she's a good friend because she never said no, or she's a good friend because she told me the truth, or
there are many forms of being a good friend.
Good answer.
I think more so that I would, more so being a good friend as to I was sensitive to people's needs and I tried to take action on them when it was possible. That's really hard to do. I admit to not being that way all the time. But I hope that in the end, when people look back and they think about the course of our relationship, that there was more positive interactions and more support given than any type of negativity or people feeling like I was stepping on their toes or being dramatic. That's what it is. Not one particular thing. It's just more good than bad.
I understand. It's interesting. A lot of people take an independent woman to be selfish just because, you know, it's, they're independent. They don't need anybody. They can do their own thing. They don't need to worry about anyone. So it's got to be pretty interesting to be very independent and strong and also be giving as well. Or do you have any thoughts on that? That's just my thoughts.
I think the independence part of being independent is not being afraid to express your opinion. So there are also times when it's like, if you talk about being a good friend, there are times that includes being really realistic with somebody and having hard conversations that they don't necessarily see to be fit at the time, or, you know, it might make somebody cry. And I think that's where the independence comes in, is independent thinking is like, you can't be afraid to tell your friends exactly what's on your mind, or, you know, giving a fresh perspective, even if they don't understand it. That's where the independence comes in. But at the end of the day, you know, you're doing it for their benefit. You're making them more self-aware of whatever situation it is that they're going through. And I think that's actually probably the better way to put it. Like, when people think of you as like, what does it mean to be a good friend? I hope I allow people to become more self-aware, more confident in themselves, even if that comes from a difficult conversation. You know, I'm not there to give handouts. I want to help people develop as people over time.
Ooh, very good answer. I like it. That's why we're friends, yep. Guys. Mm-hmm. All right. So I believe we've got two more questions, pretty interesting questions. First one would be, if this was to be our very last conversation, there anything you'd want to say to me?
Oh, my God. No, you can't do this to me.
That's a pretty deep question, actually.
What would I want to say to you? Okay.
based on everything that I just said, I would say thank you for treating me the way that I want to be treated as a friend. Life's not perfect. She can get really hard sometimes. Guys get in the way of life plans, or multiple guys get in the way of life plans, in my case. But no, genuinely, I think that is the hardest thing. Like, I know a lot of people will say, like, opposites attract, and we're very opposite in a lot of ways. But ultimately, you emulate the same independence, even though if it's, like, a different way of doing it, you're very much your own person. Like, you will do something because you want to do it, regardless, not necessarily regardless of what other people think, but, you know, it's like our friendship has had, I won't say ups and downs, but we've had gaps. But you've always been very consistent in your communication and being very honest and forthcoming. And that is something that I cherish deeply.
Awesome. That's amazing to hear. Oh, I love this. So just a little background for you guys. We went to college together. We spent a month in the Middle East together. I've met her family. She's met mine. We are two very different people, but there's literally nothing we can't talk about or sit, like, there's no awkwardness between us. Like, I don't think I have a friend where it's just like I can, like, roll around on the floor and she wouldn't question anything. She'd just be like, cool, you good? You good? Like, I'm straight. And she, like, there would be no more to it. It wouldn't be like, I don't know. It's just an amazing connection, and I am thankful for that. Was it Garrett in college that we met? The kind of, like, mutual, like, I was hanging out with him, you were too.
It was Amanda.
Was it Amanda? Emily. I don't know where.
It was Emily, because she wanted to live with you. And then we all went on spring break.
Wow, it was. Okay, so I'm thankful for that spring break trip. I'm thankful for your parents. Whatever they provided, I was happy. And that was a great trip. That was a great trip to be with you and to laugh about certain things where other, that's when we really connected, because I realized that, like, me and you were just there with family, and whatever happened. We weren't spoiled in terms of, like, we wanted the 5-star hotel or, like, the cutest bathing suits. Like, we were just happy to be there and for parents to be supporting us. Like, we were just elated, and we could see that in each other more or less because of the other people we were with. Weren't like that. I don't know. Oh, you're trying to talk. My bad. See? Okay.
Yes. Also, I've never met somebody who truly expresses being grateful in as simple but in the purest fashion, if that makes sense. Oh, yeah. This is why I like her. When she says thank you, she means it. And there's not a lot of people that are that way.
Appreciate that, girlfriend. Last question. So your great-great-grandchildren, so probably kids you probably won't meet. Hopefully, who knows? They say these days that, like,
what if I don't want?
You know what they say in the news? They said that the first person to reach 150 years old has already been born.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
It's wild, but I think you
150? Like, we can barely reach 100. Who thinks we're going to add another 50 years?
I think scientifically it's possible.
In terms of what, like, at 100 you'll do a heart transplant or, like, or just in terms of, like, you're able to completely take control of your life and make sure you're the healthiest you can be, because we still don't even know what causes cancer.
Yeah.
So how can they add another 50 years?
I
don't know. I saw that, and I didn't really look deep into it, but it just blew my mind.
I'm going to say something really negative.
If I had great, great, great grandchildren, I would want them to know that I am so sorry for bringing them into this world.
I 100%
agree. I would say I am so sorry. Now, if they're adopted kids, I would also say that I'm so sorry that I raised your parents incorrectly to the point where they felt the need to reproduce and continue to bring out human children on a planet that's already just ridden with people who need shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Kids need families. There's no, I don't, you want to know the truth of it? I think people are so obsessed with themselves that they can't get over the idea of having a mini version of it. Like, humans are genuinely, they're so fascinated. Wow. They're so fascinated by their own being that they're just curious as to, like, what happens if I make something. And it's just a project. Yeah. And it's completely irresponsible.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's so irresponsible.
Actually, it's funny you say that because I was always like, you know, I don't want kids because, one, I don't want them if I can't afford them to the full extent where if I had to pay for their college, I would. Not that I want to. I feel like they should work for it, but... You know, there's, I only want to bring people into this world that I can completely take care of under 18. But then I was like, and then another reason I was like, the only reason I would want kids is to, like, see what they'd look like. Like, how crazy is that?
Like, fascinated.
And we're how easy it is to do.
We're obsessed with it. Yeah.
Crazy. That's, mm-mm.
No, we should keep talking about this because I got lots.
Do you? Go ahead.
Are you serious?
We have 28 minutes.
All
right. That's what an interview does. It reels in other conversations.
That is true.
I question. I think it causes so many issues in society. Like, you have people on welfare, and they blame their inability to get a job because they have to take care of so many children. That ties into being able to afford birth control and what's accessible via the government. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, stop fucking, man. Like, seriously.
Yeah. But you gotta understand that, like, okay, we were given free will by some entity, whatever you believe. Like, we have the ability to do anything depending on where you live. So, these people who are in poverty, it's all about the education. They don't even know that if they bring 3 or 4 kids into this world, as wild as it may sound to any other human being, that they can't, it won't be easy to raise them. Like, they just think, you know, I'm pregnant. Or, I don't even know how I got pregnant. Like, we can't even comprehend that level of poverty. I don't think I can, to be honest. As much as I can read about it and see it, and it's like talking to a mother and saying, oh, I know how it feels to be a mother. No, you don't. Oh, yeah. Or, like, talking to someone who has a mental health issue or who has an addiction. I will never understand that. As mad as I can be at, you know, family members who are addicted to things and the choices they make, where we're literally like, you have kids, like, are you going to choose drinking over your kids? And they choose drinking, but it's not them choosing drinking. It's like their addiction, but we don't get it. So that's why I think, you know, those people who choose to reproduce and not understand that they can't provide for their kids, I don't think they get it. I don't think it's there. And whose problem is it? Is it the government? Is it the community around them? What is it? It's so deep.
I don't think that as much as we might not understand their psychological processes they go to come to those conclusions or to figure out, like, this is right versus wrong, there is no way that a person of able mind doesn't understand the impact that other people have on other people, right? Your kid is a shithead and it goes to school and causes problems. That affects other people. That affects other people's kids.
Okay, so I get that, and I agree. I'm trying to just be devil's advocate. What about people or kids that are in North Korea who don't even realize, you know, black people exist? If you don't realize that black people exist, like a type of person, maybe they don't even realize what sex does in terms of recreate. Maybe every time they get a woman pregnant, the woman gets taken away by the government. They don't even understand how babies are made. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can get that deep.
It can, but in context of the country that I come from and the amount of people. I literally took an Uber the other day, and this woman was on the phone with a social worker lying through her teeth about the income that she didn't make while trying to talk about the money that the income she's receiving from her baby daddy, and literally, like, laughing about it. Like, these people are conscious of some of the things that they're doing. Like, to actually lie to the government and go about that. Like, I understand. Yeah. So, this is America. North Korea. Okay. That sucks. Like, I feel bad for them. And it's totally possible. But we're talking about people who have access to social media, people who do have access to the internet, they have the ability to research. They've got cell phones. They've got internet. Yeah. They understand. They just don't care. Yeah. They're genuinely selfish, and they'll do what they can to put themselves in a better position because they feel entitled to their free will and those free rights. So I agree every person should be able to have the ability to have kids and do that. But if at the end of the day you're going to be so irresponsible and pretend like it doesn't affect the rest of us, or that me paying taxes for your kid to go to school while you sit at home on your ass and smoke cigs on your food stamps, like, that's just pure ignorance. Mm-hmm. And, like, in this country, yeah, I'm not bringing kids into the world. No. Yeah. So, future grand baby babies, my bad, man.
She didn't even hear the question I was going to ask. All she heard was future grand baby babies, and she was like, ah. But it's funny. Also, when I was in India, like, they have this initiative going on where they are giving, like, kids in poverty, which is more than 50% of the country, unfortunately, cell phones. Because they believe if you're connected, you can do anything and be anybody. So they're giving away these free cell phones. And, you know, it was a presentation from Microsoft we sat through, like a few of them. And, you know, our questions as MBAs or students, we were just like, so if you give them these phones, are you training them to use them, to look up certain things, to anything, or are you just giving away these cell phones? They were like, yeah, we're working on it. We don't really know how we're going to implement these programs or who's, like, there's so many people. I was just like, so what we came to conclusion is that you're going to give them the cell phone, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to sell it, because what they're worried about right now is food.
Yeah.
So they're going to want that $20 now because they're hungry now. They're not thinking of how they're going to be able to make a career in 10 years when they're hungry now. Yeah. So that's not working.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And I was just like, it was Microsoft. Like, this is what they're doing. It's like India as a country is doing this whole initiative, like trying to bring people out of poverty, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, they realize what's happening. There's, a billion people over there. It's just hard to figure that out, but yeah, it's interesting. So your great grandchildren listening to this for years from now,
yes,
is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them? Like, basically, what is one thing that you would take from 2018 to make sure they were born with, like, they had to know this?
Be kind to each other. That's it. That's literally it.
I like that. That's what our person said in our high school graduation.
Yep.
Valedictorian.
Super simple.
Right?
You will always have negative influences, but it's a personal choice to treat people with respect. That's it. Mm-hmm. Your turn.
My turn. I got interviewed before.
I like being the interviewer. So now we're going to save this and try and find something to do in Blacksburg.
Where do we go?
I know, right?
Follow the one road you're on.
Gonna go see the outdoors, take a picture, upload it on this thing. And whoever reads this or listens, excuse me.
Our bad.
Enjoy. I don't know if you'll make it through the 24 minutes, but I would keep listening. But I'm extremely biased. All right.
Peace out,
H-M. See ya.